Today on Common Ground Radio, we're going behind the scenes of Gardener to Gardener, a new one-day conference especially designed for growers. Hosted by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association, the inaugural event will take place on February 8th in Portland, Maine. It is an exciting opportunity for gardeners of all experience levels to connect with other growers, as well as university faculty, agricultural scientists, and service providers around a range of gardening topics. On today's show, we're diving a bit deeper into two topics that will be covered at the conference: planning and mapping your garden, and Soil Health 101. I'm Holly Cedarholm, your host for a conversation about local food and organic agriculture brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association on Community Radio WERU 89.9 FM Blue Hill. I'm joined by Maddie Whaley, a gardener and the Educational Programs Coordinator at MOFCA, where they organize workshops and events like Gardener to Gardener. Maddie, welcome to Common Ground Radio.
Thanks for having us, Holly.
We'll also be speaking with Rebecca Long, Coordinator of Horticulture Training Programs for the University of Maine Cooperative Extension, where she collaborates with experts from the university and beyond to create educational programs for gardeners and the horticulture industry. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
And our third and final guest for today is Yvonne Vasquez, the owner and grower at Bass Rouge Farm and Forge, a native plant nursery where she shares her love of pollinators, gardening, and land stewardship. Welcome to the show, Yvonne.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
So, Maddie, I'd like to start with hearing more about Gardener to Gardener. How did this new conference come about, and what can folks expect from the inaugural event in February of 2026?
We're super excited about Gardener to Gardener. As folks here on this call know, this is the first time that we're having this event and is inspired by a couple of things. So MOFCA's run the Farmer to Farmer Conference, which is an annual conference that offers various professional development workshops and the like to farmers and other organizations like MOFCA, such as NOFA Vermont, run similar conferences. And NOFA Vermont, for example, does run another leg of their conference for farmers that's for the more broader public. So for gardeners, homesteaders, and the like. And this year, as the team was looking for a new venue for the Farmer to Farmer Conference, landed on a venue in Portland, Maine, the Holiday Inn by the Bay, where we'll be having the conference this year. And with that venue change, opened up the possibility of having additional programming. And so we thought it would be a really great opportunity to add some programming for our gardening audience and to be able to sort of formalize some workshops and offer more in-depth opportunities for connection through the conference format.
I wanted to circle back to something you said about it being modeled after Farmer to Farmer, which really pairs farmers together as experts in the room to learn from one another. And I'm curious what the value is of gathering gardeners together to learn from one another and also from experts in the field. So Rebecca and Yvonne, you're both experts when it comes to horticulture. So why is it a good thing to get gardeners together in the wintertime?
Yeah, so I'll just speak to that, I guess, kind of broadly, and I would love to hear Yvonne and Rebecca's perspectives. I think from our perspective, working with gardeners throughout the year, we hear excitement around a bunch of different topics and a lot of desire to engage with fellow gardeners in in-depth conversations and informal discussions. And a conference setting really allows us to both provide in-depth curriculum that's brought to us by experts who are themselves gardeners and also to honor the expertise that everyday gardeners have through discussion sections at the end of sessions, through sort of informal meetings over lunch and facilitated spaces that allow gardeners to have a coordinated space for engagement and learning together as a group from shared expertise that we're not necessarily able to offer through other programming like our webinar format or short form workshops that are more limited in size.
Great. Rebecca or Yvonne, do you have any thoughts to add about what you're looking forward to in this new conference format as first-time presenters for this event, not for other educational workshops necessarily.
It's a long winter in Maine, especially for a gardener. And so just getting to get together with people, it's really like it gets you the winter and it can be a source of inspiration. So I'm excited because this will be a new group of people for me to interact with. So like hear what they're excited about, get inspired. I feel like inevitably I add plants to my wish list every time I talk to other gardeners. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And just as Rebecca stated, it is a very long winter in Maine. And we are right now in the midst of very cold temperatures. And believe it or not, nothing like a cozy fire and cold temperatures. There's nothing better to get you thinking about gardening for the next season because you're looking forward to that. And so having this conference is a wonderful way, especially in February, to bring people together and start hoping and wishing and looking forward to what wonderful new things you can grow in your garden. And you're not in a silo. So very often, as we are here at home, you're going through your catalogs and you're thinking about things, but you're not quite sure. And what a better way to get wonderful inspiration from other gardeners than to go to a conference just for gardeners.
Yeah, and as you said, with it being in February, you still have plenty of time to implement plans and make adjustments to your crop plan or get another seed order in. So I was looking at the agenda and it's just packed with all different information. There's seed saving and grow your own apothecary garden and backyard fruit trees, raising chickens, make your own garden tools, livestock first aid, and on and on. And today I wanted to do a little bit of a deeper dive into two of the sort of fundamental workshops. So Yvonne, you have a conference session lined up that feels very timely. It's planning and mapping your garden. And as we approach the 2026 gardening season, I'm wondering what considerations do you recommend for garden planning? Maybe you can give us like a mini distillation of some of the things you'll be getting into at the conference in February.
Absolutely. Thank you. One of the most important things that I have found over many years. So the good thing is you're going to be receiving information from people who've been gardening in Maine for a very long time. And so this breadth of experience of things that we've done wrong, because we all have, as well as the things that we've been successful at doing. And one of the most important things is to actually start looking at your sun arc. Even at this time of year, that is extremely important, to start looking at where the sun comes up in the winter and where it sets, because you'll see this progression and you'll see the sun going higher in the sky as the season progresses, as you go into spring, as you go into summer. And the value of that is part of that planning and mapping is then you'll know exactly what to plant where, because it always distills to the most basic and most fundamental thing, which is the right plants in the right place. And that includes the right soil conditions, the right sun, the right water, and the right drainage for all of these plants. So that's part of what planning and mapping your garden will be. And there will also be a hands-on component. So there'll be a presentation, you'll get lots of information, but then we're actually going to be mapping. So everyone will have a piece of paper in front of them and you'll be able to actually start thinking about your own garden and mapping and planning that.
Oh, that's wonderful. For folks who are wanting to chart their sun arcs now, getting started in the wintertime and thinking about their garden spacing, what are some of the tenets of sunlight? Like how much sunlight should they be thinking about for a basic vegetable garden?
Absolutely. So the interesting thing is it depends on what you're growing, number one. And understanding that if something says full sun, it's a minimum of 6 hours to plus 8 hours. So anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of full sun. If you're looking at part sun, then that's that 4 to 6 hour spacing. And then if you're looking for things that are part shade or part sun to shade, then you're looking at less than 4 hours. So that 2 to 4 hours. And then total shade would be less than 2 hours. So start thinking about your garden and your landscape and what areas receive the most sun, in which case you start thinking about planting things such as the tomatoes that need fullest and hottest sun. Sometimes things such as onions will need fullest and hottest sun, but also start thinking about what you can do with those part shade and shade spaces. And we'll talk about that and we'll walk everyone through it, because it's so important to understand before you start planting, right? So that you are as successful as you possibly can be in your growing.
Yeah. And you mentioned part of that planning process comes down to soils, which are the foundation for every garden. And I'm sure, Yvonne, you have more thoughts on that, but I want to jump to Rebecca first, who is leading a workshop on soils. Can you offer a little bit about what your workshop at Gardener to Gardener will share with folks?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about soil health 101 and really starting with a concept of like, what is soil health and some like foundational common understanding of that. And the perspective I come at it from is it's very functional. Like there's no one definition of a healthy soil because it depends on what you're asking it to do. So in the context of a vegetable garden, what do you need to do would be very different from a forest or say from a peat bog. You know, a peat bog soil would be terrible for growing a vegetable garden, but it has its own important value. So, you know, what are you asking your soil to do was going to tell you, you know, what the definition of health would be. And then kind of moving to the fact that soil is an ecosystem. I think a lot of people just think of it as like a thing, dirt under your feet, but it truly is an ecosystem and we can't see it. And most of the things in it are so tiny that I think we don't realize that. And honestly, research is still just learning about a lot of what's under our feet, but understanding it's an ecosystem really helps you then understand the actions you can take to improve soil health. And then to me, what's really important about a conversation like this is just some functional takeaways. Like I want to leave with a thing that I can do different. So I hope to give people at least a starting place of some things they can explore to potentially do different to improve their soil health in a way that's more functional for what they wanted to do.
And for our listeners today, can you tease out what are some types of takeaways that gardeners at home might be considering? And again, it's probably very case specific and it's goal specific, but if folks are thinking about vegetables, if they're thinking about soil improvements, what are some of the tools or resources that they can start to familiarize themselves with?
I love, Yvonne, that you said it depends, because we have a joke in extension that that's literally our answer to everything is, well, it depends. But yeah, there are some pretty common for vegetables, small fruits, even tree fruits and some ornamental and native gardening, some kind of just overall practices. And it's going back to that idea that soil is an ecosystem. So how can you protect it and how can you enhance it? And so protecting your soil, we're talking about things like minimizing disturbance. How can we cut down? Because a lot of the things that we value about soil, its structure, its ability to drain water and move nutrients around, that structure is created by that soil ecosystem and those microorganisms. So really, it's about getting out of their way and letting them do what they need. So maybe cutting down on rototilling and looking at some alternative ways to cultivate and prevent weeds in a vegetable garden. Also, I'm going to talk a lot about organic matter, which is basically just adding more living or once living things. So compost, mulch, cover cropping, how can you incorporate things like that? And a little bit about like mimicking kind of the environment that the soil microorganisms might be in naturally. So a garden is inherently a slightly unnatural system, but if we can move a little bit back towards a diversity of things being grown, more things in the ground for more of the year, more densely planted, that's all things that are going to protect and feed that soil, which then in, you know, reciprocity, then that feeds the plants. So yeah, those are some of the things that we would dive into.
Yvonne, do you cover soil in your mapping and planning overview? And do you have anything that you'd like to tease out on that front?
Yes, it'll be a nice segue into Rebecca's presentation, which follows mine on the schedule, which is great. I love it. But one of the things that I'll talk about to help folks understand their growing areas, right? Because again, it goes back to understanding. If you understand that you have clay soil, then you can at least start thinking about what things you can do to be more successful with your gardening, with the things that you want to grow within those soil conditions. Do you have sandy soil? So we'll just talk a little bit about that, just to almost prime folks so that they, when they get to Rebecca's presentation, they'll know exactly what to expect and how to take that information, sort of whetting the appetite, if you will, for the soil health presentation.
Well, that sounds like a really smart planning from the conference standpoint. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Ground Radio. I'm Holly Cederholm, and on today's show, we're digging into a new conference specifically for growers. Gardener to Gardener is a one-day event for gardeners to connect and learn from each other, as well as experts in the field. I'm in conversation with conference organizer Maddie Whaley, as well as two conference presenters, Rebecca Long and Yvonne Vasquez. Registration for the event, which is taking place on February 8th, 2026 in Portland, Maine, is now open at mofca.org. Other event details are available on MOFCA's website as well. Common Ground Radio can be heard on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on 89.9 FM and at weru.org. It is brought to you by the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association. I wanted to talk a little bit more about other resources available to gardeners in addition to the conference for folks who might not be able to make it. We're exploring some organic gardening topics that will be shared in more detail at the new Gardener to Gardener conference hosted by MOFCA. Garden planning and soil health are both really important considerations for gardeners of any experience level to be thinking about as they prepare for the coming growing season. And I'm wondering, are there other things that you all are thinking about more broadly? They could be things that are being covered at the conference or not as you reflect on the season or look ahead to 2026. And Maddie, let's start with you.
Sure. Especially thinking about the season that just passed. We've already, as you just recapped us, Holly, we've already been talking about soil health, but I will just say that through survey data and also through just anecdotal experience with many of the gardeners that we work with and meet at other workshops or get questions from, soil health is really a big topic for people. And I'll say that in addition to Yvonne's workshop, Planning and Mapping Your Garden, and Rebecca's workshop, Soil Health 101, we have another workshop on yardscaping, Soak Up the Rain, by Allie Clift from the Cumberland County Soil and Water Conservation District. And I mentioned that because thinking about this past 2025 season, where we saw a super rainy June that presented particular challenges for folks, and then a really dry sort of like latter half of the season that presented a whole other slew of challenges for gardeners and certainly farmers experiencing drought. I think that some tools around water management in the garden and how soil interacts with water health is something that is probably already on top of mind for a lot of gardeners. And something that you can explore in this conference, and that I'll also say we have some standing resources on the MOFCA website that I'm sure we can link to in the show notes.
Jumping in on that, you already hit on it, but just weather resilience, because last year it was dry, but you know, before that it could have been really rainy. So it's kind of being ready for all those circumstances and just making your garden and your landscape more resilient. Luckily, soil health, actually, a lot of the things that we do for soil health just automatically help with resilience. But yeah, just being prepared and maybe looking more at some like monitoring, like especially in drought years, like just having a basic rain gauge out so that you are keeping an eye on your specific microclimate and when your plants might be benefiting from supplemental water. Because yeah, I think working in extension, we have like, you know, cycles where I already can tell that I'm going to probably get a lot of questions about landscape plants doing poorly next year, that's because they were suffering last year. So there's these like delayed impacts. And so you might not see your plant suffering in the moment, but next year you might. So yeah, things like rain gauges can just help you be keeping an eye on that. So
it's interesting, something that both Maddie and Rebecca stated, which is thinking about things and not only thinking about it, but where can you get perhaps more understanding? And some of the workshops Maddie talked about and some of the other topics that are going to be talked about, as well as some of the offerings through UMaine Cooperative Extension. There's a huge resource, both from MOFCA and UMaine Cooperative Extension. In addition, one of the things that I try to do, even within my own community, is I present a series of gardening classes that helps, I hope. And given that they're very popular, I do think that they help gardeners understand from the beginning to almost the end. So there's one on understanding the seed catalog and seed packet. There's another one understanding your growing condition. There's another one about feed starting. So it's a way to walk people through. But there might be other classes around the state that also offer you these opportunities. So look for those, and especially in the winter when it's a little easier, activity is a little less outside of the home. It's a good opportunity to look for classes, webinars, whatever you can avail yourself to that is local to you as well.
Yeah, Yvonne, thanks for mentioning that. And both MOFCA and University of Maine do offer just a plethora of resources in terms of classes and other gardening articles, fact sheets, all that kind of stuff. So we can definitely have some linked in the show notes at WERU's website for folks to dig into. While not part of the Gardener to Gardener Conference, Yvonne, I'm curious about the workshop that you just mentioned about reading a seed packet. As people are starting to eagerly await their seed catalog offerings this time of year, they're maybe cozying up with a stack and doing their seed planning. I'm wondering if you have any hot takes for how people should be engaging with their seed catalogs right now.
Sure. Actually, just start looking through. So many of the catalogs offer a plethora of information. They're almost encyclopedic. And there's one in particular that, you know, sort of near and dear to many people's hearts, but something like the FEDCO catalog, the seed catalog, it's full of just wonderful information, anecdotal, historical, as well as scientific or database information. But one of the things you can start doing is if you are unfamiliar with some of the terminology, start making a list of what things you may want to learn more about. That's part of what I do in my Understanding the Seed Catalog and Seed Packet class, which is go through the terminology to help folks understand, because I remember very early on going through seed catalogs and trying to figure out what F1 meant, F1 hybrid, for instance. And so find the resources or find someone who can explain it to you and help you understand what that means. Because once you understand that, it's this almost like freeing experience, right? You become more knowledgeable in yourself. And all of a sudden, you are just more able to get any catalog and understand exactly what it means and what the terminology, and is it something that you can grow at home or not? So there's something very wonderful about going through that on your own. And then there's also something very wonderful about seeking information from all of those resources that have been mentioned.
In terms of seeking information, I know you all are involved at the organizing standpoint of the conference, but gardeners tend to be in a lifelong pursuit of knowledge. So I'm curious if you all might share one thing that, or more, that you're looking forward to potentially learning or engaging with other gardeners with in this gardener to gardener format that's coming up. Like if there's anything that you're excited about as a gardener on a personal level.
I can start. And I think Rebecca mentioned being excited about this earlier, but I'm always just really excited to hear about different varieties of plants that folks are growing. One session that I'm excited about in that vein is Becky Seidman's Unusual Backyard Fruit Trees session. As someone who myself is really interested in growing figs, and even when I lived in Vermont, knew a few folks who did lemons outside part of the year and then brought them inside during another part of the year. I'm really excited about, yeah, just about learning more about plants, both from conference presenters and from attendees that I'm less familiar with growing, but might like to grow.
Yeah, same. I love hearing about a new vegetable that I've never grown, but also like with my work hat on, I'm always kind of doing just like needs assessment everywhere I go. Like I want to know what people are excited about, what people want to learn more about. So I'm always excited to just hear what gets people excited to make sure that's, you know, the kind of programming we're providing.
So a lot of what both Maddie and Rebecca have just stated. But interestingly, even as a presenter, I learned something from the audience. So believe it or not, that's one of the things that I look forward to the most, because someone may have had great success with something that I can't grow well, or perhaps, you know, you see that aha moment in someone as you're speaking. And so that interaction in itself feeds what I do going forward. In addition to attending some of the other topics, you know, the seed saving, because I learned something. As you stated earlier, Polly, we are constantly looking to learn as gardeners and growers. And there is nothing better than to see perhaps how someone is doing something and helps you sort of change your perspective on how to do it going forward, or maybe it solidifies that you've been doing it right all along. So that interaction in itself, I think, is going to be invaluable.
Well, thank you all for sharing that. I think since both Maddie and Rebecca said they were excited about hearing what plants to grow, I now have to ask each of you to share a plant.
For me, I guess it's not plant specifically, but melons. We can grow melons successfully in Maine, and they're so fun and amazing to watch grow and so delicious. Such a crowd pleaser. Melons are amazing. I look forward to talking with other gardeners about melons.
I've gotten super into like really nerding out about the insects in my yard. Like I stand with my camera and take photos and upload them to iNaturalist and watching the on wild bergamot or native Monarda, like the amount of things that get attracted to that, the amount of hummingbird moths I see, which are so cool to watch. So like if somebody wants to see like cool insects and pollinators, wild bergamot, which I'm sure Yvonne can, it's Monarda Fistuloso, is that right?
Fistuloso, yeah. Cool. That's right. Yeah, that's that beautiful lavender-colored bee balm that is just such a pleasure to be around, right? Because it smells citrusy and it's just beautiful and wonderful. And you're right, all of the pollinators that are attracted to it. But being a native plant grower, it's very difficult for me to choose just one. So I do apologize because I do have some favorites personally. But there was one aster in particular that I grew last year, and it's the smooth blue aster, which is the Liavis. S. Liavis is the species or the particular species name, but it is one of the most beautiful, resilient, and almost like an understated beauty. And so that's what I'm looking forward to growing, in addition to the fact that it was one of the most attractive plants in the nursery to flower flies, which are an incredible pollinator species. Within that, there are many different species, but an incredible genus, the flower flies, the hover flies, the surfeit flies, all of those were attracted by that. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
See, there's another plant that already got added to my list today.
Yeah, I was going to say my crop plan is growing as I listen to you all. In these last few minutes, are there any takeaways that you'd like to share that we didn't get a chance to get into?
I'm looking forward to the conference, and I'm looking forward to having this as designated time to make quality connections with fellow gardeners. And I'm grateful to Yvonne, Rebecca, and the rest of the presenters and my coworkers for helping organize.
Thanks, Maddie.
I was just going to say, ask questions. When you're at the conference, if you have questions and you see us walking around, ask. And if I don't know the answer, I'll try and point you in the right direction. But ask questions. That's one of the best ways to get into gardening and understand more of gardening in May.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing more about the upcoming Gardener to Gardener conference. I'm excited to attend, and hopefully we'll see you all there. This has been Common Ground Radio, which airs on the second Thursday of each month at 4 p.m. on WERU Community Radio. Archives of previous episodes can be found on WERU.org, as well as the WERU app. Stay tuned for more great programming.